The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Sanhedrin, this Masechet has been sponsored anonymously. Nirfu'ah Shinema Dina Bat Sara. Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Enna Rifanada, Rifuata Nefesh, Rifuata Guf, Rifuata. We begin today's daf on Pehet Amud Rishon 1, 2, 3. Four lines down. We are in the sugya of Zaken Memre. Zaken Memre is a Zaken, is an elder man, older than 40 years old. That went against one of the rulings of the Sanhedrin. The Gemara taught us on yesterday's daf that the ruling has to be a type of ruling that can lead to Isur Karet. And the Gemara gave a braita that listed many examples of this. So now we're involved in the Gemara trying to figure out how every example the Gemara gave can lead to an Isur Karet. That the Zakeh Mamre ruled against the Sanhedrin, and therefore his ruling could lead to Isur Karet, therefore his Mihayav, the punishment of Henik. We are in Elu Hena Nehnakin. Okay, comes the Gemara and begins, Divre, the word in the Pasuk of Zakeh Mamre said Divre, Elu Ha'arachin V'Haramim V'Kdeshot. These are situations of when a person consecrates something. He makes something Harem, which is Kadosh, or Erchin, he donates his value to the Beit HaMikdash, or Ekdeshot, he makes something Kadosh. How do these cases come to Isur Karet? Gemara says, Erchin. Erchin is when you're donating your value to something. Bifnukta, the Rebbe Meir v'Rabbanan d'Tanya, Ma'arich b'chot b'bent chodesh. If let's say somebody says, I want to give the value of a less than 30-day-old child to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, by the way, the Torah lists you all the ages of how much you give, but it doesn't list you less than 30 days. Less than 30 days is no erich for that. But let's say I did that. I want to give less than 30 days to erich. Rabbi Meir omer no ten damav. Rabbi Meir says, yes, you got to give something. Why? Because Rabbi Meir holds en adam motzi devarav lebatala. A person doesn't just talk for nothing. If he said it, something has to come out of it. And if he has to give, let's say, whatever the shi'ud is, however the value of a pahot mechodesh is over there. However, Chachamim omrim lo amar klum. Chachamim say, it's nothing. Adam motzi devarav lebatala. And if he wanted to, he should have said erki alai. By saying erko alai, this child, it's nothing. There's no erich. There's no erich to such a thing. And therefore, he is patur. Oh, so now, how in the world does this come to isur karet? So now, let's say like this. Let's say the guy went like the hachamim, right? Pahot me chodesh. The Gizbar heard, the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash, oh, you made an Erech of Lester Chodesh. He went and he grabbed the money from the guy. Now, that money is Gezer. Mm-hmm. Because according to Achamim, it's nothing. Okay? And what? According to Achamim, the money is Gezer. Therefore, if the Gizbar would go now and Mikadesh a lady with that,
the Gizbar
can get married. The Gizbar went and they used it now for you're saying a good question. I take it back. You're saying good. He can't use it for Kiddushin. And what does he do over here? The Ma'ot Ena Mekdesh, which means Hana'a. That's the point. Hana'a. Kiddushin would be, you don't have to go to Kiddushin. Any Hana'a. If you hold that the money is Erchin, so the Gizbar cannot be nehene from the money because it's Kurdish. Like you said, I got to go to Mekdash. But if you hold that the money is nothing like the Hakamim, so therefore it's that money. So therefore, if he's going to use it for personal use, he's not going to be Hayav Me'ilah. Now continue the story of Me'ilah. In the story of Me'ilah, you have to bring a Qurban to the Beit HaMikdash. That's part of the situation. Okay? Now, if you say it's really Me'ilah, so the Qurban Asham is illegal Asham, and a Tameh is not allowed to eat it.
Yeah.
And if a Tameh eats the Qurban Asham, he's Hayav Karet. But if you hold the Qurban, it's not a Qurban. The Erchin was not Erchin.
Nothing.
Therefore, the money is not money. The Asham is not an Asham. And if a Tameh eats it, it's nothing. Oh, so here you go. The Zaken Mamre ruled what? The Zaken Mamre ruled that it's considered Erchin. He ruled like the Bimeir. And as a result, he held that the money is considered Kodesh, and therefore the Erchin is considered, the Korban is considered a Korban, and therefore he's going to say that if a Tameh eats this Korban, it'll be Hayav Karet. So based on his ruling against the Hakamim, this is something that can lead to a Karet situation. No, that's not the issue of Chonin Azara. The issue is over here, is that he brought this Korban, is it a Korban or not? So therefore he'll say, if it's Asham, you have, if Tameh eats it. If it's not Asham, so if Tameh eats it, there's nothing.
The Kiddushin is by the guy who was...
That, we had those cases, Okay, continue. So again, if the Zaken ruled like the Hachamim, that's where you're going to have the issue. If the Zaken Mamre ruled like the rabbis, that said, Lo Amar Klum. Okay, so if it's Lo Amar Klum, That's going to be the issue. It's lo amar klum, so therefore the korban is nothing. Therefore, if a tameh eats it, it's nothing. Where we hold, if a tameh eats it, he's hayav keret. So he's matiding something that is potentially an isur keret situation. Okay, haramim is also consecrating something. Beflukta the Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, the Rabbana the Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, stam haramim. Guy says hare ze herim. You didn't say what you're giving it to, what you're not giving it to. You just consecrated something. Stam. You didn't say, I'm giving it to the Beit HaMikdash, I'm giving it to the Kohen. Lebede kabayit. Automatically goes to maintenance for the Beit HaMikdash. Shene emar, kol herim kodesh kadashim hu la Hashem. Goes to God. Vachem imumrim, stam haramim la Kohen. No, goes to the Kohen. That's his money. Shene emar, kisde aherim la Kohen, teye ahuzato. Im ken, matabu domar, kodesh kadashim hu la Hashem. So we do the pasuk of kodesh kadashim la Hashem. Shehal al kodesh kadashim va al kadashim kalim. Which means, this haram over here applies to all types of items, which means whether it's the items on the level of Kadashim or the items on the level of Kadashim Kalim, because Kodesh Lashem is even things that are Kodashim, which is a high level of Kiddusha. No matter what he consecrates, he has to give that value to the Kohen. Whether he consecrates, he says, Hayram Alai, that I'm going to give the value of this Korban. It's Kodesh Kadashim, doesn't matter. You have to give the value of that Korban now to the Kohen. That's what we love for Kodesh Hashem. Because we have a big machlokan over here again. Machlokan, who gets the money? Does the Kohen get the money? Or does the Beit Kabayit get the money? Now, let's say, according to the Biyudah ben Betera, if a person was mahrim his money and did not say who he's giving it to, so it's Kodesh Hashem, and therefore goes to the Bedek Habayit. Somebody that's nehene from that money, it's considered me'ilah, because the money belongs to Hashem, the belongs to Beit Kabayit. And if he has to bring a Korban, Mi'ilah. Whereas according to the Hakamim, there's no Kiddushan. It belongs to the Kohen. Kohen's money. And if somebody's Mu'ilah on such a money, it's not nothing. You'll have to have an af from it. So therefore, this can lead to a Karet situation over here. Which means, the Isur Karet in the case of a Tameh that ate from the Korban. Which means, according to the Zaken Mamre, he rules, let's say, it goes to the Kohen. Goes to the Kohen, so it's nothing. There's no Me'ilah, but the rabbis rule, it goes to the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, if you nehene, this item will be Hayaf, it's Korban, it's a legal Korban, and if a Tameh eats, it's going to go Hayaf Karet. Whereas the Bimeo say, whatever, Zaken Mamre said, nah, it's not Hayaf Karet, it's nothing. So you're being matir something that potentially, according to the rabbis, can lead to a Isur Karet. That's how you have haramim. Okay, next case. Hekdeshot. Mefnukta Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Netan Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Afilu tzinura shel hekdesh selicha asara bnei adam lifdota. When it comes to hekdeshot, you need to have an assessment. When somebody makes something hekdesh, you need an assessment of 10 people to judge how much the item is worth so they can give that value to the Beit HaMikdash. So according to the Bright, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, even if a guy consecrates a tzinura, that's a small little golden fork, a little item like that, you still need 10 men to come along and assess it in order to value it, to give the money to the Beit HaMikdash. Hachamim argue on that. And they hold that somebody that comes to redeem something from Hekdesh, you only need 3 people. Now, how in the world can this come to Hekdesh? Whether you need 3 to assess or you need 10 to assess. So this machloket comes to Yisur Karet, like we learned above, by Erchin Haramim. If let's say They redeemed it. Let's say they redeemed this item over here with three. Okay? Ah, so according to the other rabbi, it was not redeemed. And therefore, it's still considered Hekdesh. And therefore, if the guy used it, I have to bring a Korban Hashem for the Me'ilah. And if a Tameh ate that Korban, it's going to be Hayav Karet. Whereas if you hold, like the rabbis, that three is okay, so therefore the Hekdesh went off the item, because the assessment was legal, and therefore the Hashem is really not an Hashem. Therefore, if a Tameh eats it, it's not going to be. So if the Zaken Mabreh rules that what? Three is okay. So therefore, he's really saying that the Tameh eats it, no problem. But if you hold, like the rabbis that say, the other rabbis that say 10 is okay, so therefore he's being matir something that according to the other rabbis is potentially Isur, Karet. That's how the Zakim Amneh can lead to a Karet in the case of Hekdeshot. Okay. The Zakim ruled like the rabbis and said 3 is okay. Okay? But we all like the other opinion. Said he didn't rule like the other rabbis, he need 10. So therefore, according to the other opinion, the item is still Kodesh. The item is still Kodesh. The Korban is a Korban of Tameh. It's Hayav Karet. And the Zakim Amneh is saying, no Karet. Oh, you're matering a Karet. Okay, Ribot Zu Ashkaat Sota. Ribot, we said, in the Pasuk, is referring to the drinking of the Sota. Va'arifat Egla, Egla Arufa, Ve'tarat Metzora. Hashkaat Sota. How can Hashkaat Sota lead to a Karet situation over there? Beflukta, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Ditnan ham kane le ishto. Okay, what's kinui? Guy told his wife, for the two witnesses, do not be secluded with such and such a man. That's kinui. Rabbi Eliezer omer mekane al pishnayim. Rabbi Eliezer says the kinui has to be with two people, umashke al pi edihal. How many witnesses do you need to see the seclusion? Or only need one? Which is the kinui, the warning has to be with two, and the ashka'ah, to get it to drink, all you need is one witness to see the actual seclusion itself. Or al-pi atzmo, or he himself saw it. The husband himself saw the wife go in the room with this guy. Rabbi Yeshua amen, mekaneh al-pi shnayim, umashkeh al-pi shnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you got to have two on the kinui and two on the stira. On the nistira. Now, that's it, we got it. This mahloket be'enyan sota shenistira shelo be'edim, let's give a case. Two witnesses. Don't go. Tell us what. Don't go with Reuben. Okay. One guy comes along and says, "I saw her go in the room with Reuben." So you have a machloket. Does she drink or does she not drink? Now, based on this machloket, you're going to come to Isur Karet. How? Wow. In a case over here, let's say she says, "I don't want to drink." Whoa. Two witnesses say, don't go with Reuben. One guy comes along and says, I saw she was with Reuben. They bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, drink the waters. According to one opinion, she has to drink the waters. She comes along and says, I'm not drinking. Now, what's the law when a lady says, I don't want to drink? So it all depends. If she has to drink and she doesn't want to drink, so then she forfeits a ketubah. Okay. Meaning divorce, you lose a ketubah. But if she doesn't have to drink, the whole thing is she doesn't have to drink. So then, when she says, I'm not drinking, you can't divorce her, but you have to pay her ketubah. Oh, so that is the situation over here. Whether she gets ketubah or not. Well, I just lead to a karet, rabotai. The case is talking about where she sold her ketubah to somebody else. She sold the option of, no, she sold the ketubah, the option to somebody else.
Okay?
So now, it all depends over here, which means what? What do you mean she sold the option? In the event that my husband dies, or I get divorced, and the ketubah is supposed to come to me,
you get it.
Now, it's possible she won't get a ketubah. It could be for somebody she'll lose it. That's the option. Good, she might die first, and then she don't get the ketubah. So therefore, that's when she sold the option. Now, this guy over here is holding the option of the ketubah.
He got married with the money.
He got married with that money, exactly. So if you hold that she forfeited the ketubah, so therefore this money is gezel, his kiddushin is not a kiddushin. No, but if you hold that, no, she doesn't forfeit. One witness is enough. To bring her to drinking. And when she says, I'm not drinking, I'm sorry, if you hold one witness, is not enough. And therefore, the ketubah, both ways. One way the ketubah is hers, and one way the ketubah is not hers. So therefore, if you say the ketubah is hers, the kiddushin that the guy made is not valid. Because she forfeits the ketubah. But if you say she doesn't forfeit the ketubah, you say she doesn't forfeit, meaning you need two witnesses for the stira. And therefore the ketubah is really hers, she gets ketubah. Therefore, the guy who bought it gets the ketubah. His kiddushin is a kiddushin because it's his money. Therefore, if somebody goes with that lady now, it's considered eshet ish and it's yisur. Cut it. So the zaken mamre, if he's going to rule in such a case, it can lead to isur karet. How he goes in the case of the sota, based on the option of the guy taking the ketubah and going to marry somebody else with it. Which is basically, you could turn anything into, once you're doing all this, you can do anything to become karet. Anything, because you keep on up, you could always turn any case to a karet somehow. That's what special take place on it. Okay, arifat egla. Okay, well, how does egla arufa come into karet? Mefluktat Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Akiva Detnan. Me'ayin ayu modidin. Okay, that's the dead guy you find between two cities. So you measure him to the closest city. From which part of the body of the dead guy do you measure from? So it's a mahalok. Rabbi Eliezer, remember Taburo. He measured from his belly button. Okay, the city is close to his belly button. That's the city that brings the egla arufa. Even though, let's say, from his arm,
it's close to another city.
Yeah. But you measure it according to the taburo, navel. The bi'akiva omer mechotamo, from the nose of the guy. Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov omer memakom shenaasa halal, from the place where a person becomes a dead man, which is the neck. You measure from the guy's neck, which is what? Misavaro. Okay, you gotta figure it out. How does it come karet? If you found a halal between two cities over there, one is close to his stomach, belly button, and the other one is close to his nose. Okay, and the Zaken Memre argued on the Beit Din HaGadol, which city brings the Egla Arufa? So this is Zaken Memre, because this could become to Isur Karet Negabe Eshet Ish.
Wow.
HaMekadesh Be'Egla Arufa. Why? Because Eglarufa is a subhanah. You don't have to benefit from it. So therefore, the guy went down when he took this. They measured from. Well, it doesn't matter in this case. Whatever the Sanhedrin ruled, he ruled the opposite. They said you measure from the belly button. So city A is the closer one. Therefore, this Eglarufa that city A brings, according to the rabbis, is a legitimate Eglarufa. According to the Zakim Mamre, the other guy said they measured from his nose. So he said, this is not Egla Arufa. The Egla Arufa has got to come from the other city. Okay, now, they took Egla Arufa like this, where according to the rabbis, let's say it's nothing. So for the Kiddushin is nothing. So this lady is not a Ishit Ish. There's no problem with her. Whereas according to the Zakim Mamre, although the Egla Arufa if you say the Eglarufa is nothing, the Eglarufa is nothing, then the Kiddushin is a Kiddushin, and then the Vesut Karet and all that. If the Eglarufa is an Eglarufa, then it's a Subhanah, the Kiddushin is not. So he was matir a case where the rabbi said the Kiddushin is good, therefore this lady is Eshet Ish. He's coming and saying, no, it's nothing, because it is Eglarufa. Therefore, this lady is mutar to go with somebody else because the kiddushin is he's matining ishit ish, which is isur karet. That's how you have the case. Tarat mesora, the case of the tarat mesora. Where do you have a case of tarat mesora? Bifluta the bishim on the rabbanan. Bitnan, we have a mishnah di gaim in lob. Oh, we had this case many times. And the mesora, what do? They sprinkle the blood on his thumb. His right thumb, his right toe, and his right ear. Okay? Let's say he doesn't have a right thumb or right toe. Oh, so it's machloka, three-way machloka. So Gemara says, "En lo bohin yad, bohin regel, ozen yemanit, en lo tahara olamit." Sorry, he's tameh for the rest of his life. Rabbi Eliezer omer, noten lo al mekomo v'yotze. Put it on the place where it was. Meaning on the stump. With you. Rabbi Shimon omer noten al shil simono biyotze. Put it the opposite, do it left. It doesn't matter. So I have a three-way machloket over here. Okay, as it's going to come to a situation over here. The Zaken Mamre is going to rule over here that what? That he'll let you do it on the left hand. Let's say left hand. So we'll say the guy's tahor. He'll let him go to the Beit HaMikdash now. Whereas the rabbis ruled like the other opinion that said, no, ain't no tara olamit. Therefore, he's tameh. And therefore, if he goes to the Beit HaMikdash, it's chayav karet. Bingo, let's say, in the mitzvah case, that. Okay. Bish'arecha. Ze leket shecha upe'ah. Oh, leket shecha and pe'ah. Okay, we have to figure out a case how leket shecha and pe'ah, which is matanot aniyim, how it will come to Isur Karet. Okay, Leket, what is Leket? Ditnan, we learned about Sechet Peah, Shnei Shibbolin, let's say the guy's collecting, the owner of the field is collecting the stalks of wheat over there, and two out of the three that are in his hand fell on the floor, Leket. Shilusha Enam, but if three fell, that's very significant. When it's two, the owner, two is nothing, leave it there. But three is significant, where the owner is going back to get it there for the anima, not allowed to get it. He's makpid on three, he's not makpid on two. Shekha, Shnei Omarim, that's Shekha, where he leaves stalks in the field, where they're still in the field, as he's cutting, so he leaves them in the field, so it says, Shnei Omarim, yeah, Shekha. Shilusha Enam Shekha, if you left two stalks in the field, good, that's Shekha. But three, he's coming back to them. That's true, two, three. Mm-hmm. That's one opinion, however. That's Bet Hillel. Ve'al kulan, Bet Shammai omrim, shalosh le'ani, arba le'ba'al abayim. He upped the ante. He said, no, three, even three belongs to the ani, four belongs to the ba'al abayim. Okay, so now let's say you have a case over here where the Zaken argued on the Sanhedrin, and he ruled like Bet Shammai, that said three belongs to the ani. Okay, and as the din of Shekha. Why? Because if this ani is going to take this over here, okay, not so simple. Now watch it. The ani takes the money. Okay, the ani takes it. According to the Zaken Mamre, the ani took what he's allowed to take. The Baal Abayi gets angry at the guy. Hey, fella, what are you taking three? And the Baal Abayi goes and grabs the three back from him. So now the Baal Abayi is considered a gazlan according to this over here. Okay. And therefore, if he is going to mikadesh a lady with this over here, the Baal Abayit, right, the kiddushin is not going to be hal. Mm-hmm. However, according to the rabbis, three, you know, I have to take three. Therefore, what I'm taking back is mine. My kiddushin is a kiddushin. Whereas the zaken mamre is going to say, you're not married, no problem, the lady can go with somebody else. But they're matining really a eshet ish. That's the case where the lichet shkampi can come to a suit of karet. Great. Pe'ah. Next case. What's Pe'ah? Pe'ah is the corner of the field that you have to leave for the ani. Bifnukta, Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbanan. Okay, what's the machlokot over there? Tanya, we have a Tanya, we have a machlokot in the Braita. Mitzvat Pe'ah. Okay, the mitzvah of Pe'ah, lehafrish min hakama. Kama is the field, the wheat that's still standing in the field. They have to leave the corners. Don't cut them. That's Kama. Lo frish min hakama, you didn't na frish min hakama, you cut them already. Now what do you do? Ya frish min ha'omarim. Good, so leave the bundles there for them. Lo frish min ha'omarim, you didn't leave the bundles there. Ya frish min ha'kri.
Right, from the pile.
Put them in a pile now. Take something, leave the pile there. Ad shelom minhu. So long as you didn't smoothen it. Because once you smoothen it, so then you hayav in ma'asrot and all that stuff. You don't want to give the ani stuff that he has to give ma'asera. Minhu. Oh, if you made miruah hakri ready, you smoothen the pile. So it says ma'aser. You take ma'aser from the pile over there. Binotein lo, and then give the ani tax free. So they don't take any ma'asrot. Oh, but now let's say you didn't even give it to him when it was in the pile. What'd you do? You took the wheat, you grinded it, and you made it into flour. So it says in that case over there, mishum Rabbi Ishmael amru af mafrish min ha'isa. According to Rabbi Ishmael, you have to give even from the dough. The rabbis argue. The rabbis say, now once it gets to the stage over there, you are patur. Okay? The rabbis hold, once you make such a shinui, the Baal Abayit is koned b'shinui. You grinded it, you turn it into the dough, shinui. Shinui koned, the guy owns it himself. Baal Abayit owns it. Or to the rabbi, the bee, who's at the bee, Ishmael? No, even such a shinui like that, you got to give it to the ani. Okay, how are you going to come to Tisu Karet over here? Okay, same story over here. The ani came along and took the pe'ah after it was grinded. According to the hakamim, he has gezel in his hand. He's not supposed to take it. If the guy, the ani, is going to go mikadesh a lady with this over here, so there's nothing. However, according to the Bishmael, she's going to be considered eshet ish. So according to the rabbis, I said, now what? The rabbis are setting in rule, she's eshet ish. Right? The money is not considered. The pe'ah is illegal over here. I'm sorry, the pe'ah is legal. The pe'ah is legal. If the rabbis would like to be Ishmael, the pe'ah is legal. Therefore, the Ani is taking what he's taking. Therefore, the lady's considered married. He comes along to Zaken Mamre and says, nah,
she's nothing.
The money is Geza, you're not married. So he's matiring an Eshet Ish to the Shuk now. And that's Kasur Karet. Continue. So that's it, by the way. We figured out all the cases, I think, how to prove them that they are all subject to the Karet. Now we go to another case in the Mishnah. Shlosha Batedini. Okay. Remember we learned how a Zakim Mamre becomes a Zakim Mamre? We said he rebelled against the Bet Din in his city. Okay? So then the Bet Din of the city takes him to the Bet Din of Yerushalayim. They say, listen, we were ruled like this, he ruled like that. Who's right? So the first Bet Din in Jerusalem says, well, good question, we don't know. They go to the second higher court and they say the same claim. We ruled like this, he ruled like that. Good question. They finally take it to the Shkata Gazit. That's the Supreme Court. That's the Bet Din that sits on the Azara. And then they make the final judgment. Okay. So it says like this: Ama Rav Kahana, Hu Omer Mipi Ashimua, Vehen Omrim Mipi Ashimua, Eno Neherag. This goes to your point. Which means, let's say the guy, the Zakim Amre, he's saying something, not stomach shooting from the hip. He heard something from his rabbis. He has a Kabbalah from his rabbis, and the guy's like, such a way. And the Bet Din HaGadol, they also have a Kabbalah from their rabbis, and they're saying, opposite of the Zakim Amre, Eno Nehera. You can't kill him on something that he has a tradition from his rabbis. Hu Omer Kachu Be'enai. If he comes along and says, it seems to me. Vehen Omrim, and they're also shooting and they're saying, yeah, that's what it seems to us. You don't kill them on that either. Because it's this, as long as the source is equal to the Bet Din, he's not a Zakim Mamre. If you're shooting from tradition and I'm shooting from tradition, we're equal. If you're shooting from logic and I'm shooting from logic, we're equal. The coach again, who omen be a shimwa ben omrim kachu be'enenu. Certainly if he's better than that. He's saying, I have a tradition, and you're shooting from Sevara. In Rehrag, Ad Shiyomar Kachu Be'enai, Ve'en Omrim B'Pi HaShemua. That's the key. He has to say, this is what it seems to me, and they're saying we have a tradition, and he doesn't want to back off. And he's I'm sticking with my guns. Oh, that's Zakim Amre. That's a weird occurrence. He says, I'll prove it to you. Shehare Lo Hargu Et Akavya Ben Mahalal El. Oh. What's the story of Akavya ben Mahalalel? Mishnah Eduyot over there. Akavya ben Mahalalel was Da'at Yahid, argued on the rabbis on four cases. Hey, Zakir Mamre. How come they didn't put Akavya ben Mahalalel to death? Ela because he had a tradition. The rabbis also had a tradition. But since he was coming from tradition from his rabbis, that's why they didn't kill Akavya ben Mahalalel. Because otherwise they would have killed him. Because Zakir Mamre he was. They put him in Harem. Okay, that's fine, but that's not killing him. So therefore you see what? That as long as he's coming from a Kabbalah, he's okay. But Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afidu hu omer b'pi ha-shimu'a, ve'en omrim kachu be'enenu neherag. Wow. Even if he says, I have tradition, and the Sanhedrin says, it seems to us, you kill him. Kedesh shelo yirbu mahlokat b'Yisrael. We don't want cursing, mahloket, and dissension. Each guy's going to say his own halachot now. So therefore, in order to keep the... you're going to kill somebody, shelo yirbu mahloket?
Because he doesn't back off.
He says over here, so why? You should kill somebody for that? Because you want to make peace, you kill somebody for the name of peace? So לדעת רבי אלעזר עיקר הטעם לחיוב ומיתהו שלא תהיה תורה מסורה ביד כל אחד ועד הפרשה כרסונו.
Determined.
You don't want anybody to each guy explaining the Torah's own way. אלא יהיו הכל עושים כפי הפירוש של בית דין הגדול. שהם מסורי התורה ועמודי ההוראה. לפי כך למרות שאין במחלוקת זו פגיעה בכבודם של הסנהדרין, בכל זאת נהרג הזקן. Which is, it's not pshat that you embarrass the Sanhedrin. Pshat is, we're doing this to preserve tradition in Torah, and he holds that's what it says. Torah must come from there. That's what he's doing in the pasuk. Torah must come from Sanhedrin. Oh, even this from a Sivara. Torah doesn't come from each guy in the street. He's going to say what his tradition was, what he said, and therefore, once you're breaking away from that, that's already Hayam Zakim Mamre. Hadush. V'im Tomar b'pnei ma lo hargu et Akavya ben Halalel. So why did they kill Akavya ben Halalel? He had a tradition, and he went against the rabbi. And you hold, even if it's a tradition, you kill him for Hadacha de ma'ase. Which means he argued on the rabbis, but he didn't posek it hadacha de ma'ase. We learned for a zaken mamre to be a zaken mamre, he has to actually say it and then posek it. How do you know that? Look at our Mishnah. The Tenan. Kach darashti vekach darshu haverai. Kach limati vekach lemdu haverai. When the Zakir Mamre goes to the Beit Din HaGadol, what does he say? This is what I said, this is what they said. This is what I taught, this is what they taught. I mean, you have to go give the two sides. My love, du amar bepi ha-shimu'a, vemomrim kachu be'aninu. Which is from the Mishnah doesn't tell us what level he was on. It just says, this is what I taught, this is what they taught. It sounds like even if he's saying, I have tradition, and they're coming from Sevara, the Mishnah doesn't give us any indication. So he could even mean that case. Mm-hmm. And what does it say? He becomes a Zakir Mamre. No. Who omer kachu be'enai ve'omrim k'mipi'a shimu'a? I can tell you, no. The Mishnah doesn't say anything. I can say, he's saying from Shimu'a, and they're saying from tradition. That's why it becomes a Zakir Mamre. So from the Mishnah, you really have no clear-cut proof. Tashema, we'll bring another ayah there. Three laws Zaira from Yerushalayim told me. Baal Shemahal al Kinuyo Kinuyo Mahul. Right.
Guy came along and said to his wife, don't be secluded with this guy. Al Tistrim Ishploni. And then after he did that, he came along and said, you know what? I'm Mohel you. And then she went alone with that guy. So he says, Mahul. The kinui is considered Mahul. Look at the bottom of that sheet, just to read it as she here. Shekine de ishto altistli imploni, kinuyo mahul vi imnistira inanesirit ala. So if she goes secluded, it doesn't become asur. What's the second halakha? Ben sorer umorer. Shedatsu abi vi imol limhollo. The guy went off, he ate the meat, stole the money, did all that stuff, and his parents wanna be muhalim if they went through the whole process, which means they warned him. If you do this, you're going to get malkut. And he did it. And now all of a sudden, the kid does it, and the parents say, "I pass." Muhalim lo mechila counts. Zaken mamre shiratzu bed dino limchol lo. Zaken mamre dati bed dina gadol in Yerushalayim. He rebelled against them, and they tell him, "You know what? Don't worry about it. Mechila muhalim lo." Okay. When I got to my friends in the south, al shnayim on two of the three halachot, hoduli. Al zakem amre, lo hoduli. When it came to zakem amre, why? Kedei shelo yirbu mahloket beYisrael. Now, once you see that that's the reason, I don't care what he said. Even if he said from tradition and they said from Sevara, it's kedei shelo yirbu mahloket. So, what do you see? That opinion is correct. Gemara says, Ti yufta. This is indeed a question on the other Rabbi Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana said, no, if it's equal footing, no zakim babre. But from here you see, the reason why they didn't agree with them is because they don't want to be marbe machloket b'Yisrael. That means the reason, it doesn't matter what he's coming from, he becomes a zakim mamre. That's why it's not nitan, the mechila. Ti yufta against the other opinion. Good? Good. Okay, Tanya. Amar b'Yosef Mitechelal v'ayu marbin machloket b'Yisrael. Originally, we're giving the history now. Originally, there was no machloket b'Yisrael. Ela b'din sheshivim ve'had yoshivim b'lishkat ha-gazit. You had the 71 rabbis sitting in the lishkat ha-gazit. That's the major court. Ushne b'te dinin sheshivim u'shlosha. And you had other two small secondary courts of 23 judges. Ehad yoshev ha-petah ha-rabayit. One sat by the entrance of ha-rabayit. Ve'had yoshev ha-petah ha-azara. One sat by the entrance of the azara. Ushar b'te dinin sheshivim u'shlosha yoshivim b'chol ayrot Yisrael. And all cities of Israel had a court set up of 23 judges. That was the infrastructure. Hutzlach ha-davar lish'ol shu'alim b'bet din sheb'iran. You have a she'ilah? You don't go to the Supreme Court right away. You go to the local court in the city. If they heard the deen from their rabbis, amru lahem, oh, we have a Kabbalah, so and so. They don't have a Kabbalah. So then they come to the one that is close to their city. What is that? I mean, to the next town. Maybe this town doesn't have a Kabbalah. Go to the next city.
Ask them, hey, rabbis, what's the deen over there? Then you go to Harabayit.
ואומר כך דרשתי וכך דרשו חבריי כך למדתי וכך למדו חבריי אם שמעו אמרו להם
if they have a clear cut ruling they tell them
ואם לאו אלו ואלו
all the rabbis now have to go now move up to the next level באים לשכת הגזית ששם יושבים מתמיד של שחר עד תמיד של בן ארבעים the hours of the court are from early in the morning from when they bring the Korban Tamid Shel Shahar until Minhata, until they bring the Tamid Shel Ben Harbaim. Okay, that's the court hours.
Court schedule.
Ubshabbatot Yom Tovim Yosvim Behel. Oh, and Shabbat and Yom Tov, they sit in a different place. That's in the wall of Harabayit over there. There was a certain wall called the Soreg. They sat behind the Soreg. Okay, that means they sat on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Nish'ela, she'ela b'fnehem. Now, they asked the question. They posed the question to the Sanhedrin. Im Shamu, if they heard a ruling on this, Amru Lahem, yes, this is what we heard. Now you got to take a vote, which means nobody has a tradition on this question. So now they got to stand up and vote. Rabbu amitamim tamiu. Majority rules. Rabbu mitamim, the item becomes tamir. Rabbu amitaharim tiharu. Okay, that's all good. However, Meshe Rabbu tamide shamai vehilel shiloshim sukkos sorkan. Now there was no more betir again. Now you ended up having students. Students of Shammai and students of Hillel. And what happened? They did not have Shimush Tamid Achamim like they were supposed to. So they really didn't understand the Sivarot of their rabbis so much. Which means originally Hillel and Shammai only argued on three cases. Mm-hmm. All the Mahlokot that you have are not between Hillel and Shammai. It's between Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai. Because they didn't go into the depth of what their rabbi was saying. And therefore they started to make much mahloket, and it says, "Rabbu mahloket be Israel, v'naasi Torah kishte Torot." Hashemah Torah became like two laws. They say tahor, they say tameh. Everything went became. It's not a good thing at all. I have to give you the history over here. Good. He said, "Kevan shekol echad noten tam ledvarav kifi havanato." I look at this way. What would the rabbi say? They didn't get the rabbi's clear. Shita clear. Continue. Misham, we continue the story of how they used to appoint judges. Misham, so the Betin HaGadol, Kodvim v'shulhim b'chol mekomot. They send letters to all the other Betidinim. And what's the letter? Kol mishu hacham u'shval barech. Any candidate that we find is anav, he's humble, shval barech, he's modest, whatever. Shval Berich, meaning Berich is a star. Shval Berich, he walks, lowly. Vedata b'riyot nu ha'emenu. And he's accepted by his people, by his, the people in the city. Yehe dayan b'iro. You are qualified to be a judge in your city. Misham. Now from the Bedin of the city, ma'alin oto l'harabayit. Meaning they can upgrade him. If they see he's worthy, they put him on the higher court. Harabayit court. Misham la'azara, or misham l'shkat gazi. So that's the process. First, they appoint him to the lower circuit, and as he progresses, he moves up into the ranks till he comes to the Supreme Court. Okay. Shalhu mitam. They sent from Eretz Yisrael. Ezu ben olam abba. Okay, that's a good question. Who is considered a man that will merit olam abba? And vetan ushval berich. First of all, got to be humble. Okay, low. Hachnaa, he subjugates himself. Shayif ayil, shayif nafik. When he enters bowing, and when he leaves, he enters bowing, which is he walks b'derech anava. V'garis be'oraita tedira, and he studies Torah constantly. V'lo mahazik tebuta lenafshe. And he doesn't think he deserves anything because of it. He doesn't hold himself better because he's learning Torah. He doesn't pat himself on the back because of it. Who's such a person? Yavu berabbanan enehon berav ula bar abba. They said, Rav ula bar abba, that's the man. He has all these midot.
Wow. So the Gemara continues. Chazar le'iro v'shana. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Zaken Mamre, he goes back to his city and he just taught a ruling against the Sanhedrin is batur. teaching is not enough. You have to actually make a hora'ah. He actually has to make a ruling on it. Right?
Taru lebanan, enu chayav ad she'aseh kehora'ato.
He's not chayav until he actually does. Torah, asiyah, he has to do like his ruling.
O she'yore la'achirim ve'aseh kehora'ato.
Or he tells others. Either he does it himself, or he's moret to other people to do his... To his ruling. So the Gemara says, "Bishlama yore la'achirim."
I understand that what yore la'achirim, if he tells others to make the ruling,
yasu keorato, so they're going to follow his ruling.
La'av bar katalahu.
He wasn't hayav mita before that, which means by the hayav mita is coming from what? From the fact that he told others to do the ruling, his ruling, and therefore, as a result, he went against the Sanhedrin Shabiru Shalayim, so therefore he's going to be Chayav Mita. That I understand. Why? Because La Barkatami Kara La Barkatalau. Initially, he was not Chayav Mita. The Ashta Barkatalau. Now, that originally, before he went to the Sanhedrin the Gadol, he was telling people, do this. Not Chayav Mita. He didn't rebel against the Sanhedrin yet. Once he went to Beit Din Kadosh Shabbos Shalayim and Tamayir, it's not a halakha. And he comes back and says, do this, don't worry, the halakha is like this. So now we understand why he's Chayav Mita. Originally, before he asked, he wasn't Chayav Mita. And after he asked, he's Chayav Mita. However, Ela, she yaasek hora'ato. But when he goes back home and he himself does his halakha, he himself fulfills, he does according to his ruling, Meikara name barkatalahu. Initially, he was also Chayav Mita. If we're talking about something that's a Chayav Mita, so therefore, even before he went to the Beit Din Shabbos Shalayim, he's Chayav Mita. Because let's say, we're talking about Chalev. He ate Chalev. So therefore, he ate Chalev before he went to the Beit Din Yerushalayim. So it's Chayav Mita for eating the Chalev. Why is it only Chayav Mita? Only after he went to Yerushalayim, they told him it's Asur. Now he came back and ate it. Even the first time he ate it, he's Chayav. Because of the Asur. Bishlam, when you're telling other people to do something, so you didn't do it. So therefore, you're not Hayav until Beit Din ruled Asur, and you went back home and told other people Mutar. And now you're Hayav for rebelling against Beit Din. Masha'en Ken, if you yourself did the item, I mean, before you went to Beit Din Yerushalayim, you ate Chalev. Now you went to Beit Din Yerushalayim, they told you, by the way, that's Asur. And then you went back and says, oh, Anshi'asek Korato, now you ate Chalev. What do you mean? You Hayav already before you went to Yerushalayim, because you ate the actual Isur. Why is it saying you're not Hayav until you come back and do it yourself? By doing it yourself, you're Hayav even before you went to Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, which means, let's take a case of Chalev Edam. Chalev Edam is not a good example, because you're not Hayav Mita on Chalev Edam. If you eat Chalev or blood, it's only Chayav Mita Bidei Shamayim. So if you want to say the case, we're talking about it was a situation of Chalev Vedam, Ikara Lav Bar Katalahu. Initially, it's not Chayav Mita, because no Chayav Mita, and that's only Chayav Karet. Ve'ashta Bar Katalahu. But now, because you rebelled, you're going to be Chayav Mita of Zakim Amre of Chenek. Which means, initially, let's say the guy, he ate Chalev. There's no Chayav Mita for Chalev. It's Karet. It's God's business. And then he goes to Yerushalayim, they tell him, by the way, this Chalev is Asur. He goes back home, now he eats the Chalev. Now he has a new Chayuv on him. Forget about the Karet. Now he has the Isur of Henek because he went against the Sanhedrin. That I understand. However, but let's say he was discussing a case where Yahya Mita Bedin. It wasn't a case of Henek. It was an Avon that the punishment is Mita Bedin. Before he went to the Sanhedrin, it was Hayab Mita. Let's say it was a case of Halul Shabbat. He ruled over there that this is Mutar to do on Shabbat. So before he even went to Yerushalayim, he did the Yisur. He turned on the light on Shabbat. Then he goes to Yerushalayim, they tell him, what's the suit to turn on lights on Shabbat? He goes back home and turns on the light on. When he have to go back home and turn on the light, he's Hayav already from the first time when he turned on the light on Shabbat. Oh, so the Gemara says, Be'ikara, Be'ai Hatra'ah. Originally, you would need a Hatra'ah before you turn on the light. You need a warning, like every Avira. Hashta lo Be'ai Hatra'ah. Once already he got the ruling in Yerushalayim that they told him that it's Asur, now when he goes home and turns on the lights, Hayav automatically even without a warning. That's going to be the Nafka Mina. So the Gemara says, so the whole difference between going to Yerushalayim and coming home from Yerushalayim is whether you need a warning for the Isur or not. So Mesit, Tedo Ba'i Hatra'ah, Ma'ika Lememar.
let's say his avon was an avon in mesit, meaning he did something to try to persuade people to do avodah zara. Then he went to the Beit Din and told him, by the way, that item that you did is called mesit. Right? Then he goes back home and does it again. Why does he have to do it again? If it's mesit, we said you don't need a hatra'ah. Mesit is one of the few averot that when you do it, you don't even need a hatra'ah. So what's the difference between going to Yerushalayim and coming home? He'll be hayav mesit without a hatra'ah from the beginning. Kibra says, Meikara, I amar ta'ama, mekablin al minne. Hashta, I amar ta'ama, no mekablin al minne. The difference. The guy before he went to Yerushalayim, he started persuading people in a certain way, right? So you don't need a hatra'ah, right? So now they're about to come and kill him or something, because he's doing a misid. If he explains himself and says, by the way, what I'm doing is mutar because of this reason, we have to back off. Even though we're not allowed to defend a misid, but if the misid defends himself, we accept it. If he gives us a reason why he thinks what he's doing is okay, we have to back off. So therefore, before he went to Yerushalayim, the guy's persuading people. We come to him, we're going to kill him. He's a Messiah. He comes up and says, no, what are you doing? That's what I'm doing. And he explains himself. He gave a reason. We have to walk away. Once he goes to Yerushalayim, they tell him what you're doing is asu. Now he comes back home and does the same thing. I don't care if he says, oh, what I'm doing is mutar. What do you mean mutar? Already the Sanhedrin told you, it's asur. And therefore, we can, you don't need hatra'ah. But the hadush is that after he goes to the Sanhedrin, we're not going to even accept his definition, we're not going to accept his argument. Exactly. His argument is not an argument anymore. Before Messi, you don't need warning. But if he argues, you got to walk away. Mashiach, once he comes to Yerushalayim, and the Binti tells him, this is called Mesit, what you're doing, and he goes back home and now does Mesit, finished. Even if he says, no, I'll explain it to you, explain me nothing. Binti said, what you're doing is a suit. Boom, kill him on the spot. Comes the, okay, Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen.